This morning's scripture reading is from the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and with our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was from the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
God has given us a strong desire to live and to enjoy life fully. If death comes near, we fight to live. If a loved one faces death, we fight both for and with them to live. We have come through the experience of life to know the difference between existing and really living. Everyone wants the life that is truly life. By his power and love, God makes possible human life as well as its enjoyment. Whatever our circumstance of life may be, wherever we're born, whatever the conditions may be of that place and that time, God gives life but once. We cannot, as humans, either create life nor extend the quality of life indefinitely. And so life is precious to us. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." In hand with God the Father, Jesus was the source of life in every sense. Life in creation, life in continued existence, and life in experience. Jesus' follower John wrote in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life." In John's Gospel, there are two intentionally continuing themes. One is Jesus as the source of life, both life mortal and life immortal. And the second is belief in Jesus in order to have the best mortal life and in order to have immortal life with Jesus and the follower, the Father. So, in John chapter 3, and there in verses 16 on through verse 14, rather, on through verse 16, and once again in John chapter 3 and verse 26 or 36, we find Jesus speaking to a teacher of the law. And Jesus says to him, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For the God the Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then finally, it is said in verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." In the next chapter, chapter 4 of John, in verses 10 through 14, Jesus tells a Samaritan woman that he is the source of living water that will cause her to never thirst, spiritually he means, and that he will give her eternal life. Jesus speaks using a metaphor from the fact that they are gathered around a well and he has asked her for some water from that well. She fully well understands what he's talking about. In the next chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 21, Jesus tells some religious leaders, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life. Even so, the Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it. Not only do God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son have the power to create life, but they also have the power to bring back to life those who have died. And the Gospels tell us of Jesus doing just that. In verse 24 of chapter 5, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." God's Son was born as a human to call people to believe in and to obey him as the one, the only one, who could save their souls for eternal life with him. This is why Christians around the world celebrate Jesus' birth. God's vision and love are much more than for humans to enjoy a short mortal life on this earth. God also planned for us to be his spiritual children so that we might enjoy perfect immortal life with him in heaven forever. We celebrate Jesus' birth because of what he came to do. This Jesus, this Son of God, came to die as the only acceptable sacrifice to God the Father for our human sins. We celebrate Jesus' birth because God the Father brought his Son Jesus Christ back to life from death to live forever, as only God could do, and as only is appropriate for God to live. We celebrate Jesus' birth because when we are baptized into him, we are promised that we will be raised to eternal life with him when he returns to take us to our everlasting and true home with him. And so, in John chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus urged people, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man," as he spoke of himself, "will give you." Jesus was not telling people to not work for their daily needs. Instead, he was telling them to be more concerned with a full life with God than with a full stomach. They needed to see him as more than a man who could miraculously provide physical food. They needed to see and believe in him as the one, the only one, who could provide spiritual food for their eternal lives. And so, in John chapter 6, and there in verses 35 on through verse 40, we find Jesus telling them this, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day." Jesus impressed in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that he had come to give life to the full. He explains that in terms of him being the only one who would lay down his life for his people, those people who believe in him and who follow him. In John 11 and verses 25 through 26, Jesus spoke of God's power to overcome physical death and to give eternal life. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." We read those words and initially we think how confusing they are, and yet those who listened to him understood fully well what he was saying. that although we would die physically in this life, as all eventually will do, they would never die eternally if they believed in and followed him, if they obeyed his teachings, which had come from the Father. In John 14 and verse 6, as Jesus spoke of heaven, he told his closest followers, his apostles, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then as a summary of what he had written, John says in John chapter 20, and there in verses 30 and 31, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Not just earth life, not just mortal life, not just temporary life, but everlasting life, eternal life, with God the Son and God the Father and God the Spirit in a place called heaven. Jesus calls us to be less concerned about the short mortal life we have on this earth and to be more concerned about the endless immortal life that we could have with him in heaven. He calls us to realize that this life is our time to prepare our hearts to live with God forever. And he impresses that our preparation for that life eternal with him, involves how we live here in this short time. Someone has said that life here is the prelude to life eternal. Others have compared it to a book and said that the life here is the preface or the introduction to the book of life eternal. All of those have great meaning when we think about the short period of time that we're here, as long as it may seem to us in general, and yet that it is but a blink of an eye in terms of eternity. Jesus told his apostles in Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 through 24, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, if anyone would believe in me, if anyone would obey me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Another of those confusing kinds of statements until we stop and realize that Jesus is talking about the comparison between this short mortal life versus endless immortal life. Jesus, as Son of God, controls it all. And Jesus has the power and the will and the grace and the love to give that unending life to all of us who will believe in and obey him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, Jesus' apostle Paul urged Christians to offer yourselves to God as though those who have been brought from death to life. And in verse 23, he told them, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We earn what we get when we work for sin, when we devote ourselves for sin, when our life is made up of sin. And sin is simply the absence of the centrality of God in our lives. Because God's either at the center of our life or we are. And if we are, that's a life of sin. But the life that is truly life is the gift of God, and it's eternal, and it's found only in Jesus Christ the Lord. In 1 Timothy, in chapter 6 and verses 18 through 19, Paul instructed Timothy to command the rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share, He says, in this way, they, the rich, will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. What coming age? The eternal life that they can have, so that they may take hold of a life that is truly life. I love that last phrase. Take hold of the life that is truly life. What you and I see and what we value in this life can cloud the life that is truly life. We can get so caught up with so many things around us, and they don't have to be great big things. They don't have to be the things that the whole world seems to run after. They can simply be the little things of life that we get caught up in, that distract us and that keep us off track. Off track from having God at the center of our hearts, the center of our minds, the center of our lives. They cloud our vision. We fail to see life as God both sees it and knows it to be. Our challenge, then, is to see and to value as God does. Paul followed God's teachings about valuing the spiritual over the physical and the mortal over the immortal over the mortal. He writes in Colossians chapter 3 and in verses 1 through 4, "Since then you have been raised with Christ," speaking of Christians, "set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Set your hearts and your minds not on earthly things, but on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and where your life is hidden with Christ in with God. That's a statement or series of statements that are well for us to mull over prayerfully, aren't they? If we're Christians, this speaks of the profound change that has come upon us and that has come within us. This is really an allusion to what Paul writes about in Romans chapter 6 when he talks about baptism and about how we have been buried with Christ that we might be united with him. We are now one with him. This is not only a different worldview that Paul speaks of here in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. This is an other worldview. It causes us to rethink what really matters in life, in this life and in the life to come. It causes us to ask ourselves and to consider deeply what is truly life here and what is truly life forever with God. All of this leads us to God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 affirms, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Over and over, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the source of all life, that in Christ is life. Life. Ought to change our perspective, shouldn't it? With Jesus having said so much about life and contrasting this life to life eternal, talking about the quality of our life here being a forward to the book of life where life is perfect forever, something that we can't even imagine in this very imperfect world. In a world that constantly seems daily has something to upset us, to distract us, to anger us, to cause us to wonder, if this is God's world, where is he in it? For us to be so very short-sighted. And yet God calls for us to have a broader and a deeper vision of this life, of his activity in it, of his constance in it, of his making it possible moment by moment so that we can see in a greater, in a clearer way, life that is truly life, not just here, but forever with him. Christians celebrate Jesus' birth as God's greatest expression of his love to human beings. It is the opportunity for all people to be born again through baptism, to have the life that is truly life. This new birth comes through Jesus Christ, and it only comes through him. When we believe in him as God's Son, and when we believe in him as more than that, as our Savior from our sins, then we gain life, the life that is truly life. And so the only thing that we could ask and encourage of you this morning, if you are not yet participating in that life, is come, believe, be born again, and come to experience and to enjoy fully, now and forever, the life that is truly life with Jesus the Son and Christ the Father. However we can help you, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.